Welcome to the Variado Insider, a podcast covering some of the latest trends and things to know in cybersecurity. This podcast is sponsored by Variado, which is an award-winning employee monitoring and insider threat detection software provider. So to learn more about how Variado can help protect your company, check out variado.com. Now, I'm Dr. Christine Eswalkor, your host for today's segment, and we're covering how to combat insider threats in remote learning environments. Now, remote learning, of course, is now an inevitable reality for academic institutions, for the education sector, and more. Even before the pandemic, remote learning was already on the rise. But in the midst of all of that, and even coming out of it, this has just become even bigger, even more dominant across institutions, especially in public schools and so on. And while modern institutions are investing heavily in ed tech or educational technology, the investments in the cybersecurity space and the cybersecurity protection of all of those technologies has to also be included in that conversation. Because of course, as this remote learning continues to thrive, this just allows for more exposures and vulnerabilities and things that hackers can exploit. And so tons of stuff to dig into today on that topic. And then the added challenge is that when you consider all of the different roles in an educational institution, especially from an insider threat standpoint, you think about the students and the teachers and the parents and contractors and everything in between. These are all adding complexity to the landscape. Now, before we get too far into that, of course, I want to introduce our amazing guest who we have with us today. Familiar face joining us for a second time, Virgil Capillari. Joined us a couple of months ago to provide some insight on using artificial intelligence and some advanced methods to detect, sort of manage, sort of sticky HR related issues. And so bringing him in for this conversation on insider threats in the education sector as well. Quick backstory on Virgil. Virgil is an accomplished intelligence and insider threat professional, over 23 years of expertise in everything from formulating to implementing to leading insider threat advisement and investigations and global security efforts for high profile organizations like the US Air Force, DOD, and many other private companies and organizations. Virgil currently leads Adaptive Risk Strategies, which is a human-focused counter insider threat consultancy. And so welcome back to the podcast, Virgil, and thank you so much for joining us.
Dr. Eswalkor, Christine, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me here today, and I do look forward to providing some additional thoughts on this very open and evolving space.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to digging in on it. Now, I know I gave a little bit of background, but anything else that you want to add in terms of, telling us about yourself and your experience in this space thus far?
Right. Within the greater counter threat realm or risk management per se, I spent the better half of the last 23 years, more than 23 and a half years, in various circles, both within the military and within the intelligence community, where I served as both a human intelligence officer and counterintelligence special agent. In each of these positions, I was able to gain some valuable insight working on and against insider threats from different perspectives. So as a human intelligence officer, I cultivated relationships with individuals. I helped teach them the ways to circumvent their security and exploit them for use and to acquire whatever information was needed. As a counterintelligence agent, I kind of went from playing offense to the defense side of the house, where now I was trying to basically find those types, detect, deter, and kind of disrupt their activities. So I think that having both sides of it has given me some kind of invaluable perspective, at least on dealing with it. And where I lead Adaptive Risk Strategies is trying to apply both of those with a kind of corporate counterintelligence sense to security programs. Rather than waiting for a problem and then trying to mitigate it, why don't we try to actively seek out what the threat is ahead of time or known vulnerabilities and try to seal them up from being exploited.
Yeah, absolutely. Huge advocate of taking the proactive approach instead of, you know, sitting back and waiting for something bad to happen before you do something about it. So yeah, thank you for providing that background. And we're going to jump right in here. Really excited to get into this topic. So a couple of interesting stats that I saw to kind of kick us off. There's been a 19% increase in cyber attacks against schools, specifically in even the K through 12 area between 2019 and 2020. That's expected to jump 86% this year. And so just one of, I think, many interesting stats and trends going on, but ultimately there's been an uptick in attacks in the education sector is the bottom line. From your perspective, even taking this higher step up, how has the remote learning space evolved over the last few years, especially in the context of sort of cybersecurity?
Well, much like other sectors of the economy and modern life, it is evolving. I mean, I think they're in some ways they were kind of ahead of the game with some of the online course offerings by various colleges, universities, and other types of vocational schools. And in some ways, at least, while they may have been ahead there, they're somewhat lacking, or have been somewhat lacking, in the overall security. I'd say that it's no shocker that the predicted increase in upcoming cyber attacks is probably a natural correlation, being that these are A, softer targets, but B, we're still trying to feel it out. And, you know, I'd hate to use the word norm, especially in this quickly developing semi-post-COVID period, but I would say that I think we're kind of learning along the way. I'm not sure if there's one simple size that fits all, especially depending on the size of the institution and the clientele.
So I think that's a good segue into another point, digging into this more. What types of risks and attacks are you seeing as these educational institutions and things continue to get targeted more? Like, I know, like, I read once that 12% of attacks against education systems are powered by ransomware, for example. 40% involve some kind of data leak. And so those are just general things that I'm seeing. Like, what are the risks and attacks that you're seeing, and what are the impacts of those?
Well, much like you led off with, certainly the ransomware and the phishing, just one of the simplest methodologies to be employed out there. And if you think about the surface space, it is pretty broad, going from A, the institution, to the client, to the customer, to the student. Not only that, because in more cases than not, there's a lot more third-party vendors or actors in between helping either facilitate the communication, they in themselves also present another type of insider threat, because we're not quite sure how suited they are to defend or identify various threats. We've seen various forms of business email compromise with many institutions. If it's one thing is, if someone's being taught or attending a course and someone's teaching it, someone or some organization had to pay for it. So attempts to financially exploit information, better yet, how about employing various types of advanced persistent threats, attacks, anything that can kind of disrupt the day-to-day information flow, or better yet, lock down those grades. Because regardless of the institution, at the end of the day, everyone from mom and dad all the way up want to know what the grades are. So this is no different. These are soft targets. So many, you know, criminal elements, foreign state and criminal entities, are certainly going to take advantage of this, because it is the easier path.
Got it. I like that you bring up the sort of parents and the different roles that are involved here, because I think that's something that is often overlooked, like within and the threat landscape of an educational institution, right? It's like yes, there are the students who could potentially click on phishing emails and could potentially, I don't know, disclose a password to some imposter on accident. Same with teachers, but especially in this environment, the parents also have a role in it too, right? Because it's like when students are working remotely, they could be sharing devices with other family members. They can be doing all kinds of things where like the behavior of other folks in the house or other folks who are involved can ultimately impact the security of that educational institution as well. I'm glad that you brought that up. Now, speaking along those same lines too, and getting deeper into the insider threat side, how does insider threat play out in this sector? And another quick stat that I'll rattle off real quick. I found this one really interesting to maybe set some context too. So I read that about 3% of teachers fall for phishing scams when they're on site, compared to 20% when teaching from home. And so it's such a huge jump when folks are actually, and I think this probably translates into the traditional work environment too. It's like, I think people tend to be a lot more vigilant and a lot more careful when they're in the office or when they're in a professional environment versus when you're at home and things are a little bit more lax. All that aside, the fundamental question here is, how do you see insider threat playing out in the education sector?
This is a really good question. The insider threat within the education sector plays out on a very broad scale. Because if we think about the insider itself being anyone with authorized access to use the systems or access the information, that ranges from everyone from the student all the way up to the proctor of the exam or the organization. So in trying to splice this out, the insider could be someone taking a test who may not be who they say they are. Okay, so therefore, the possibility of someone being rewarded, gaining a certificate, earning a grade or a GPA that they don't deserve. That's one form of it. The other form is, at least when it comes to the educator side, is how much of it are they actually contributing to this? Because is the equipment under which they're operating, under which they're administrating this kind of course, test, education, is it being done in some kind of uniform manner, right? Is it, are the machines meeting certain specifications? I mean, are they being as vigilant? Are they inviting it? Are they defending against it? And I think in this kind of an example, this presents a very nightmare scenario, though not impossible, because we kind of need everybody, kind of like a whole effort, a whole of education, to kind of fight against it. And I'm just not sure that the education and behavior is kind of matching up.
Got it. Yeah, you mentioned a couple of different points. I think that especially in this sector, the balance of, you know, trusting people to do the right thing, right, with the verification that needs to happen, and the fact that within educational institutions, right, everything is at risk, from dishonesty or like to your point, like cheating on an exam, to the side about like people clicking on things that they shouldn't click on, introducing things like ransomware and all kinds of other malicious things into the organization and the impacts there. I think another piece we haven't quite touched on here is data leakage and the identity theft and everything that can happen with that as well too. It's like, when you have, whether it's like somebody who's accidentally leaking data from within school, whether it's not just students or faculty, but also think about like tech staff, maintenance, like these educational systems have those same kind of structures in the back end supporting them. And so when some, you know, database accidentally gets posted online or whatever the case may be, and that data is out there, whoever's data it is, right, is now at risk of identity theft or their data being sold on the dark web and so on. And so I think there's so many different layers to insider threat, to your point, within the education sector that we have to pay attention to. We've talked a little bit about some of these things, but I'm just curious if you have anything else to add. But how have you seen attackers leveraging more advanced attack methods against students, parents, faculty, IT personnel, if anything? Any trends that you're seeing there?
Yes, I'd say a lot of the same trends that we've seen in other industries, especially especially industries that may have not been traditional targets. So therefore, they're not as accustomed to it. But we still see the basic, ransomware, a lot of business email compromise, and a lot of, I've seen an uptick in a lot of human engineering, right? Spoofed emails, stuff where the email may seem benign, however, the individual is not looking at it close enough, or better yet, targeting a student. I believe at the beginning of COVID, we saw these stories all across the net of what they call it, Zoom bombing. We have seen this pop up in several educational institutions. They're using many of the traditional methods and some of the newer ones against the students, against the parents, right? Once again, I just think that, I just think like any remote workforce, that has become kind of a new and known landscape. I just don't think that there's anything that hasn't been done before. It's just that it may seem a little new to the folks in the education space.
Yeah, makes sense. So for those folks that this is somewhat new to, what tips do you have for managing insider risk within the education sector?
So this is going to be twofold. For educational institutions, and this goes well beyond colleges, secondary schools, and universities, but also to professional testing centers, right? I'd say that there needs to be accountability at the core of it. But before we get there, there has to be education. And during this time where much of the workforce, yet alone the education institutions, have adopted this mass remote kind of work environment, we find that the education has been actually either where it was before, or in many cases, even poorer. Education throughout my career in various capacities is by far the number one defense. At the end of the day, the insider threat is a person, is a people problem. And while there may have been a rush to address this through technical means, at the end of the day, your people have to understand. Students have to understand this is a way of life. So, in one mitigation, organizations can take a more active role in frequently educating their population on just what the ongoing threats are and the need to maintain good cyber hygiene. Same thing applying to students all the way up across the board. For other institutions, or for another side of it, or maybe from the administrator side of the house, there's ways you could take steps to ensure that you minimize people maybe taking exams that shouldn't be there. I know that for some certification exams out there, they require that not only do you have a special room, but that you actually have an active camera on while you're testing, and that you have to wave the camera as well as show ID before they'll even administer the test. In that case, you could cut down on anyone trying to misrepresent themselves. Those are a lot of very simple, practical measures that could be taken. And you can control the timing. Time is a very important thing, especially for a lot of these certification exams. And you can control the venue. Rather than have students just pick the spot, in most homes, you could find a corner or a wall or something behind you. I think in a lot of cases that a lot of the physical structure and basic logistics can be handled in a way that require heavy lifting and which doesn't necessarily uproot anything. Second, traditional institutions, as they're the most famous ones for dealing in this realm, can issue pre-approved equipment or require that the equipment meet certain specifications or any other type of internet activity or any other ongoing things would be detected during these exams. I think A, you maintain trust and accountability, and B, you're able to deliver a safe, secure exam and not cheapen the value of the certification.
What you're saying almost like brought up another thought for me, in that typically we look at sort of some of these risks as data leakage or getting denied access to systems, whether it's like ransomware, denial of service attacks, but there's also just this sort of integrity component, right? Of being able to just maintain the integrity of your processes and being able to trust in the, whether it's the certifications that you're handing out or whatever the case may be, there's that element of that integrity that seems to be a common theme here. So so yeah, thanks for bringing that up. Any final thoughts as we wrap up? We have just about a minute left. Any final thoughts?
Right. No, I just kind of want to reiterate just some of the basic points here that this is not a problem that's too large to resolve. There are going to be certain inherent risks in it, as are with everything else. My advice to people trying to defend these networks is you're not going to be able to defend everything. Focus on the quality of the student. Focus on the methodologies, testing material itself. For many of us who've taken tests or certifications where you had an open book, how often did the open book really make a difference? At the case, either you know it or you don't. Trust in your processes. Trust in your testing capabilities. Fix what you can. And I think in a lot of times it can help address this, but never miss the opportunity to educate all your folks using this.
Love it. Well, hey, that concludes the Variotto Insider podcast for this week. This podcast was brought to you by Variotto, which is an award-winning cybersecurity company whose solutions are anchored around four core areas of cybersecurity protection. Those include employee monitoring and web filtering, insider threat detection, employee investigations, and ransomware support. Now, to learn more about how Variotto can help protect your company, check out variotto.com. Thanks again, Virgil, for joining us and sharing so much wisdom.
Thank you so much for having me. And like I said, good luck.
And thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in. I'm Dr. Christine Walkor, the CEO of Cyber Pop-Up, and it has been our pleasure to share these insights with you. So until next time, stay safe and secure, insiders.